inspired by the long-running stand-up comedy show at QED Astoria in New York City, this is the Revolution Podcast. I'm Kate Moran. My pronouns are she, her, and each episode I chat with one of my hilarious friends in comedy who happen to not be a cis white straight man, and we'll also highlight an awesome cause, resource, or organization for you to check out at home. Real talk, real action. Welcome to the Revolution. Today's action is the Indigenous Kinship Collective, which is a community of Indigenous women, femmes, and gender nonconforming folks who gather on Lenni Lenape land to honor each other and their relatives through art, activism, education, and representation. As matriarchs and knowledge keepers, they center their intersectional narratives by practicing accountability within community and self-determination. They uplift intergenerational Indigenous voices and welcome mixed race, non-enrolled Indigenous femme, non-binary, trans, and two-spirit people. They denounce colonial power structures of leadership and blood quantum. They are circular and work in harmony with each other. And as they say in their mission statement, we are defined by those who came before us. You can find out more info on the Indigenous Kinship Collective at indigenouskinshipcollective.com. And this action is brought to us by our guest today, who is a good friend and wonderful person. Her pronouns are she, her. She is a yoga teacher, Reiki practitioner, tarot reader, and comedian, Carmen Rodriguez.
Hi. Thank you for that intro. Wow. I'm like, that's me.
That is you. I'm just always so impressed by you, and I love, I've always felt like a special connection because we both have the comedy and the woo-woo. as I like to call it. It's so good to see you. It's been like really long.
I know, it's been like 2 years. What is time?
I have no idea. It wasn't on purpose, I will tell you that. You've always been on, like, in my mind fondly.
It's also like in 2019, I don't want to like upset anybody, but I got a flu-like virus and, I was doing like, as a Reiki practitioner, I was doing that and I was doing improv and working full time and I was like doing a lot. And I got really sick, like 103 degree fever, throwing up. Like clammy, like the chill, like all of those things. And I remember like going to the doctor and I was like, what is it? Like they gave me strep test, flu test, and they're like, you have a flu like virus. And I was like, okay, so like what antibiotics were you gonna give me? They're like, you have to rest. And I was like, do you know what city I live in? Like, you know, like I was like, that's not. And so it forced me at the time, I was like, okay, like if I'm going to be doing like Reiki, I'm going to focus on just doing Reiki for a little bit. And if I'm taking like improv, I'm just going to focus on improv. Or if I'm going to do like compartmentalize. So I had to kind of like take a step back from the funny side of things because I was like, all right, like I really want to get wellness stuff off the ground. So that also partially my fault.
No, well, it's not your fault. I think that's amazing and such a smart, you know, it's such a smart thing for you to realize. I do some like career coaching on the sides for comedians and actors, and something that like I was taught that I always pass on is like, if you want to gain any sort of momentum in any field, you have to be specific in what field that is and focus all of your attention on that and recognize it's not forever. It's like, you know, like you said, like if you want to become a Reiki practitioner, you're going to have to focus on becoming a Reiki practitioner or a Reiki healer, you know, and then for the next 6 months, and then you will actually see yourself achieve that goal. But if you're spread across 10 different things, you're not going to get any sort of real progress in any one of those areas. It's like, do one thing, great, and then focus on the next goal after that, you know. But
yeah,
I think that's really awesome. I don't follow that advice myself, but I know it works.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. But you must have been so like practiced then in being in this forced rest moment when then COVID hit. I mean, were you at least a little more kind of accepting of this forced rest than the other
people? Wasn't. So like when COVID hit, I remember like I had just started my 200 hour yoga teaching certification. Like I'd done that we had 2 weekends of it. And then COVID hit and it was kind of like, I went from being like out of my house all the time to then doing everything that I did outside of the house in my room. And to like, I loved my teaching program. It was great. But doing that, like I graduated in June. So like when New York was bad, I was also like trying to focus on like being present and like breath work and pranayama and your chakras and chakras. And I was like, I can't do this. And like working full time. So it was like a weird forced, it wasn't even like I wasn't going anywhere. And I still was like, I'm so tired. And I couldn't understand why until my therapist was like, maybe because you're working full time and you're in this program. And she was like, do you take a day off? And I was like, no, because I'm home all the time. She's like, you still need a day off.
Right, right.
So it kind of forced, it has, it's definitely like, while like I was forced to rest a year before all of it happened, when everything happened again, I was like, I'm not ready to rest.
So that makes a lot of sense.
It's definitely like now I've kind of like this time I was like, all right, now we need to rest and like do some things at home and just chill without like sitting in front of a computer trying to learn and observe things.
Yeah, that's really hard. I feel like I have like such screen fatigue, and there's no, and the one challenge is that by doing everything at home, like you said, there's no boundaries. There's no like work versus home. Like, you know, I would come home at the end of every night and like, yeah, I'd be out all day, but then I'd be like, okay, this is time to relax or this is time to turn off. And now you don't get that.
No.
Because there's no differentiation. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, like it's, yeah, a lot of screen time. Like the past like 2 months, I've really been like trying to be conscious of the screen time that I have outside of work. Because I noticed I would be watching TV and then I'd be looking at my phone and I wouldn't be absorbing anything and just be like, it's 10 o'clock and I don't know what I did for the past 3 hours. But now I'm in like this hole about like Christine Baranski and I don't know how I got here. So, yeah. It's just been like a lot of like, now I've been, the library near me opened back up, and that's been like a game changer. Now I'm just like reading a lot. So yeah, that's definitely awesome. Trying to be like mindful of, as well, like of the screen time, or like, I know that to get that social interaction, I'm gonna have to be on the screen. So scheduling time with friends, but like when I'm done with that, then I'm not like turning on the TV and putting on some garbage. I'm like, okay, now I'm just going to sit in my bed and read tea. I read tea, drink tea. I became a new person this year. Like things are wild. I was like, I don't know what happened to me. Cause I was like, tea's weird.
I think this was the year for self-experimentation and finding, like doing the things you always said you wanted to try or do. And then no, but I really struggle with the screen time thing. I do the exact same thing. And I've been getting headaches because my eyes have been drying out. Like my vision's been suffering because all I do is stare at screens all day. And I have a stack of books I need to read. And it's very hard to find that motivation to just like actually go and turn off the screens.
What actually changed it was there, I think it was Halloween weekend, our internet went out and it was, they like, we called Verizon. They're like, we can't, it was Friday. And they're like, we can't come till Monday. And I just got the bluest eye from the library and I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll read this book. Cause it was like, you know, like if the internet was out a year ago, I would have just like done a million other things. So I just kind of was like, all right, I'll read a little bit. And I was like, wow, reading is, it's fundamental. So I was like, I'm just going to keep. And like, the Brooklyn Public Library, if you need like people to do PR for you, let me know. Cause I'm always like, no, the library though, dude. But like on their app, I just like I put in like a bunch of books that I want to like read and like request a hold. And then when it's available, I get a little text being like, you have a hold available. I go to the library. You can only like you can't look. You can only pick up and drop off. So,
oh wow.
So I pick up my book and I can even check out on my phone and then I leave and then that's that.
That's amazing.
It's great. Like so that's one thing. And I loved reading as a kid. So I feel same. Like it's a little like inner child work. Like my like little child self is like, can we read a little bit? Like,
oh, I love that. You're inspiring me. I'm going to go read
yes.
after this. yeah. But so you were saying that you had to switch to getting your yoga certification, your yoga teaching certification at home. Mm-hmm. Like, so you were, this was happening in the middle of the pandemic. What was that transition like? Can you talk a little bit more? Like, was it all virtual learning?
It was all virtual learning. And it was like, I think the most challenging thing I've ever had to do because it was, I think there was so many different things. Like I think even something I'm still grappling with is I really wanted to put my all into my training. Like it had been something I wanted for years. I originally wanted to do like an intensive in Costa Rica, and then the studio that I got my certification with in my home studio, Sacred Brooklyn, they weren't going to be doing the intensive anytime soon in like Costa Rica or Mexico. And I was like, I really want this. And I was like, I need to stop like for a long time. I was like, I'm going to wait until that happens, until I can do that. And I was like, but also when are you going to be able to take a month off to go to Costa Rica and do this? So I had been saving and preparing since August for it. It was like, I'm finally doing this. Like, I'm so excited. And the first two weekends being like really getting excited to like also work with like, I think there was 9 of us. And then all of a sudden, like everything went virtual and just, I mean, there's a difference between like virtual learning and then like virtual learning when like everyone's trying to just like, it was like, we were all like trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And there was like, we had to read the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which is all about like detachment and like letting go of expectations. And I'm like reading this while I'm in a pandemic. And I'm like, I don't know. I was like, I'm trying to release all of my attachments. I'm just trying.
So hard.
And it was also just like at that time, like being in New York, like this was like March, April, May, June, when like New York was like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Like it was a scary place. Like everyone was like, oh shit. Like, are you okay? Do you need to get out of there?
Yeah.
So it was really, really hard. And I ended up moving afterwards. So like also that was hard, like realizing. Wow. So it was just a, like, I think my friends always joke around that I'm not busy. And they're like, yeah, you're busy and you're always doing things. And like, this year I was like, it took like about a month ago. I was like, I don't even think I've given myself a break mm-hmm. after all. Cause I like finished the training and then I was like, okay, I'm going to move. And then I moved and then I just kept going, but it was really, really hard. And like Zoom school, Zoom learning is, I like, don't wish that on anybody. It's yeah. so hard. Like I feel for like kids and teachers.
Yeah, have to do yeah. that.
It's so hard. And teaching virtual, like it was just like, I don't know, there's posture clinic in like your 200 hours. So you're like going through and like adjust, like you're receiving adjustments and it's just harder on a screen. Like,
right.
especially if you don't have like the luxury of placing your computer far enough so that your whole mat is able to be seen. But I'm very happy I did it. I have to keep reminding myself, like there's a moment a few months ago, I was like, what did you even do this year? And then I was like, whoa, what? Like, what? I was like, wait. I was like, this imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
No. Like, yeah, I did do something.
That's amazing. So,
yeah, it was really, I think, like I think the hardest thing still is just like there's that sadness about like I really wanted my teacher training to be different and like just also doing things at home. Like I'm someone who like I loved going to yoga classes because it would be like I'd be in a room and I'd be forced to be present, and then like I'm doing yoga in my room and all of a sudden it's like you realize like, oh shit, my floors are really dirty. Like it's just like hard to focus when you're like there's like dust everywhere and I'm like, oh, let me fix that, and then like all of a sudden you're cleaning your whole room and then you're like, oh shit, I was in the middle of actually practicing and trying to be present. So it's been a lot of like taking those practices of like being present and understanding things are temporary, like as untemporary as the situation feels, I know that it's going to end. And like, even though it feels like a long time, it's going to end. And I think like when this first started in March, we were like, oh, like I'm going to have to be in this till Memorial Day. And now if someone, and then when they're like, you know, we expect by like spring 2021 things to get better, I'm like, oh, that's only 6 months. It's fine. Like,
yeah.
And just like recognizing the mindset that like, okay, it's temporary. And like, what can I do to be safe?
Yeah. Yeah. Well said on all accounts. I think it's extraordinary that you were having to take this intensive training that had moved remotely. That was about mindfulness. That's about spirituality and physicality and all the, I don't even know all the things that go into yoga. It's a lot. And then also working full time, having to transition to that. I'm assuming you had to then work remotely.
Yes.
And then preparing for a move eventually. Like, that is a lot, Carmen. Yes. That's a lot.
It's a lot. And, like, I also, like, I work for – so I work for the city. And so I also, like, at work, we – like, it's gotten busier and busier. But, like, we had – like, I work for an oversight. And so I help – like, I work with agencies directly – and vendors, and there was like every single day it was stuff about like it was just COVID, like work was just like COVID. So it was like I couldn't escape like what was going on. Like not saying that if you were an administrative assistant for a company that you could escape it, but it was just like it's very present. And like we were helping vendors who had PPE connect to the agencies to get, so there was a lot of just like everything was COVID. And like as a city employee, we never worked remote. Like that was not a thing. Like they were just like, okay, so you're going home and you're gonna work from home till further notice, bye. Like they just kind of were like go.
Yeah.
So that was wild. And yeah, like working full time, moving, trying to stay like present and mindful. And then I actually did, and sometimes I like I say this, I'm like, God, you're nuts. I did a 75-hour like new teacher mentorship for the past 6 weeks with Sky Ting in Manhattan. So I just finished that, but it was, and that was also hard, but that one was a lot different than my 200-hour because I knew that when it started, it was going to be virtual and it was going to be virtual the whole time. And it was like building on the skills I need to build on and it pushed me out of my comfort zone. Like we had to teach class and then get 15 minutes of feedback. And I was like, and just, you know, having to like teach for like, there's a difference between like when you're teaching for like when we were teaching towards the end of, like getting ready to like graduate, like it was like people that I had known for 3 months and like we had all been through this very intense thing to like then being thrown into something where it's like I'm going to be teaching for people that I've never met before, and we're going to be like it's like critiquing and like so much yoga. Like 2020 was just like yoga all the time, which has been great, but yeah, it's been, I think this year I've had to also be like, all right, like let's reel it in. You don't need to do the most all the time. I was like, December, you need to chill the fuck out.
That sounds nice. I was gonna say that's incredible. I was pretty much paralyzed for the first 3 months of the lockdown. I couldn't create anything or except for work. And I was also in the middle of moving, so like that was my main focus, was just to get a new home base. My like root chakra felt very much like just freaking out constantly. So I'm just amazed. How was your mental health through this journey? Because I feel like, even though yoga, instills a lot of really beneficial teachings for mental and physical health, I can imagine still the stress of it all on top of like, I don't know, experiencing a global pandemic could be quite a lot. So how did you take care of yourself mentally while balancing everything?
Therapy, my therapist, like, love her. She's great. I think like everyone should be. I'm hoping, like,
Yes.
I hope everyone's in therapy,
I
like,
agree.
and I hope therapists are in therapy. Like, we all need to like talk to somebody. That was a huge, huge thing. And really like trying to build a routine and know, like, there are times when like my routine, like, will fall apart. Like earlier this week I had my period and I like to like meditate and do like card pulls and like do a li like do like 15 minutes of like yoga in the morning so that I can like go to work and be like I've had some time for myself
That's so
even though I've been
nice.
home. And like but earlier this week I was like my uterus is shedding and I don't want to get out of bed, so I'm going to stay in bed till I have to get up and change for work.
That sounds good.
And another thing was has been like even just like showering, like taking that time like every single day to take a shower. And it changes. Sometimes it's in the morning, sometimes it's the afternoon, but like taking a shower and like changing out of my pajamas. I was like, girl, you need like it doesn't matter if you change from your like sweatpants to leggings to a different baggy shirt, just the act of like putting on something else. And another thing was like allowing myself to sit with the emotions that I perceive as like negative or bad. Like if I'm feeling sad or jealous or angry, to sit with that and know that like one of the things in yoga, like when you're in like an uncomfortable pose, let's say, if anyone, if you have done yoga, like lizard or something that's like very like hip opening and where you're like, ooh, knowing that like that pose is, it may feel like forever, but it's a few breaths, and just taking that into consideration. Like, I am sad right now, so why am I sad? And let's hold some space for it because tomorrow you may not be feeling sad. Tomorrow you may be happy. Tomorrow may be a really good day. But for right now, we're gonna like hold space for this, and just also holding space for like when I'm joyful, I'll be like, okay, like we're gonna hold space for this joy and like and sit with it. And it may not be here tomorrow, so we're gonna appreciate it while it's here.
Yeah, that's all really, really good tips. I have not done the showering thing. That is something I was like, I'm gonna take a shower after this. You're inspiring me so much. I'm like, I'm gonna go read a book. I'm gonna go do some yoga.
Yes.
I'm gonna go take a shower.
And it's also like I will, but it was like also for showering, like that was something like a, and I don't want to like get into this, but like I a few years ago, or like not a few years ago, like 10 years ago, I had family stuff happen, and like I ended up sharing, like my mom and I were sharing a room at my aunt's house. And I didn't have a lot of privacy, and it was only temporary, 6 months, and that was also a really hard time for the both of us. But whenever I would be at my aunt's, or if I was staying at like if I like couch, it was like I was couch surfing for a little bit, taking a shower. The shower was like the only time that I had time to myself and was able to be completely and fully alone. So I think just from that time, like a sh like taking a shower has been like a place of like, okay, like we're gonna wash all this shit away. We're just gonna like get ready and like come into the day. So that's, I love a shower. Like whenever anyone's like, I'm really sad, I'm like, have you taken a shower? And they're like, What? I'm like, it helps. It helps. It helps.
That's a really, yeah, I love that way of thinking about it. I don't know. I guess like when I was little, I always felt like showers were a waste of time because I would rather be watching TV or
Oh no, I'm
playing.
the same. I hated showering and I hated eating anything that kept me away from like having fun. I was like, ew, no.
It was like, what's the, it's like going to the bathroom, I thought was such a waste of time.
I was like, why do we have to wash our hands? Like, now I'm like, ah,
Yeah,
why would
yeah.
you say that? Like, you gross
Kids
human.
are gross.
Kids are so gross. Kids are fucking nasty. yeah, I hate. So there's a lot of things. Like, I used to hate eating and I used to hate showering, and now I'm like, I want all the snacks and I want to take a shower.
I've been just recently, like within the last like month or so, started to try and do like actually make my shower experience more enjoyable, like light some incense, light a candle, turn off the lights, like shower at night in the dark or whatever. Like, and that's been helpful. That's been like that. I feel like it feels more like a moment than like just a necessity. But yeah, I still maybe shower like every other day, twice a day, twice every 2 days.
It's like, but also too, like that's, it's not for everybody. I also love, like, I love a nice Epsom salt bath.
No, I don't have a bathtub I can sit in
Oh.
anymore. I miss it. I used to have a bathtub with jets at my old apartment, and it was the best luxury
Why'd
in
you
the world.
move? Just
Well.
kidding. Also, congratulations. Like, I know I've said it to you like before, but like, congratulations on like getting engaged and like taking like that next step. Like, that's huge. Like, yes. Like,
Thank you. It's wild. It's wild to do it in a pandemic too. I think that's been really interesting and beneficial to our relationship in a lot of ways because we've been forced to we like be with each other 24/7, and like any shit that comes up, we have to deal with right then and there. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to leave. So we've gotten really good at talking things out, and just we've always been good at communicating. But like, and we've also been getting really into different types of like, spiritual practices, meditating, lighting candles, like just trying to take care of ourselves, coloring, like just little things.
I love like coloring. I started it like 5 years ago and then I took like a big break and then actually, because I love, while I am, and I mentioned this earlier, while I am a yoga teacher and a Reiki practitioner, I also love garbage. That being like McDonald's, Taco Bell, sometimes a Burger King, maybe a Wendy's. Now they're For a long time, I was like, fuck Chick-fil-A. And then I had Chick-fil-A. I had the Chick-fil-A sauce and like chicken nuggets. And I was like, this is delicious. And then someone's like, they still hate the gays. And I was like, take these queer ass dollars, bitch. And then they were like, no, we still hate gays like a lot. And I was like, okay, I have to stop. So I haven't had
That
Chick-fil-A,
sucks.
but I would always be like ashamed. Like, I was like, I don't want anyone to know. Like, I'd be like, coming home with it on the train and like put it in another bag. And like, if I came home with it, I like didn't want anyone to see it. Like, I was like, I would take it to the shoot. Like, when I was done, like, I was like, I don't want anyone to know what I've done. But I also love trash TV like so much. So what I started doing was while I'm watching trash TV, I will color because like, you don't really need to fully pay attention to what's going on. But when someone starts shouting, then I like put my shit down. I'm like, what's happening? Who's fighting?
I love that idea of watching shit TV while coloring. That sounds luxurious, to be honest. I love that.
I'm a Taurus, so I'm all about like
Oh
luxurious.
yeah, you're all about the creature comforts. I love that.
Yes, so.
I've been really also into cooking. That to me has become soup because we've had to like, obviously we have to provide every meal for ourselves and take, we definitely order a good amount of takeout as well. But like if I have the time, I will cook all day. It just I find it very meditative.
I actually, so I, in like April-ish, I started getting like those like meal subscription boxes.
Yeah, we just started this too.
And I had Martha and Marley Spoon. It was great because it like definitely kept me occupied. It was, but then there was like a period of time where I was like, oh, I have to cook because it's just like this whole meal. So I really enjoyed cooking, and like even my roommate was like, "Oh, Chef Carmen's here," and I was like, "I don't want to cook, but I have to cook." So I've taken a little bit of a step back from cooking, but that experience actually, like, now I was like, "Oh, there's like recipes that I can make that I'm like, oh, I like I really liked this. I can make it again." But there's been a lot of frozen food. An air fryer also. Game changer. Do you have an air fryer?
We just got one. We're going to play with our new toy. We just got an Instant Pot as an engagement gift from Matt's aunt. We haven't tried it yet. We got it on Thanksgiving, so I'm like really excited to play with it.
My roommate is a gadget queen. Like, we have like an electric robot and Alexa, and she has the air fryer and the Instant Pot. And I was like, I need to actually like use this Instant Pot, because the air fryer, I was like, I'm scared. Like, I'm just going to keep using the oven. And then I was like, wait, what takes 30 minutes in an oven takes 10 minutes in an air fryer? Like,
done.
So just like my like mini beef tacos, like, been going in there every day.
You have to. So yeah, I'm so new to this. You'll have to teach me your ways. You can just put frozen food in the air fryer. And it just makes it better and cooks it faster.
I for me, it cooks it faster. I don't know if it's healthier, because I'm like, it's still frozen. It's still like whatever. I know it's from Trader Joe's, but I'm like, it's still not that great, probably. But yeah, like I would just like their chicken nuggets, just like put a couple of chicken nuggets in the air fryer. I spray the thing, put the chicken nuggets in, 410 minutes, and then it beeps, and I'm like, look at these sizzling babies, and they're done. Like, done.
Amazing. So, oh, I'm gonna have to go try that. You're giving me so much. I need to make like a list.
Make a list. Carmen, do
use my air fryer. I have chicken. I've been trying to get more vegetarian food, because like we do tend to eat a lot of meat, and I'm trying, and that's one thing, is like a big struggle for me is my own kind of relationship with my body image and body dysmorphia, and like, but also I've definitely gained weight in this pandemic and have become so much more sedentary than I, you know, normally am. And so it's like, how do I try to continue to be healthy without hating on myself and getting into this really negative kind of anxiety field space of like, oh, I'm fat, you're not losing weight fast enough, like, you know, the kind of like self-loathing, like dark shadow area that pops up. And then, you know, but at the same time, it's like, but food is like, gives me such comfort. I don't know where I was going with this, but point being, I'm gonna go make chicken nuggets in the air fryer,
like, read a book. Yeah, like, and then just like, you could sit and like read and eat your chicken nuggets. I think, and to, in regards to like movement, I think something that has been, that was a struggle for me, is I like try, like I had a plan, I have a Planet Fitness membership, which I need to cancel, because every time they charge me, I'm like, I'll fucking use this. Like, I don't even, I was like, I need, and then they're like, the only way you can cancel is by like showing up there, or like writing a letter. And I was like, this is homophobic. I don't like it. Like, what? Like, I'm not going to go travel an hour to be like, I don't want this, but I'm like, I'm also tired of you taking $10 out of my account. But the thing
struggle's real. I had to go through that.
It's just, I think with like those kind of things too, like you are like, oh, it's only $10 a month. And like, I joined, and like, I don't like the gym. Like, I don't like being on an elliptical. I don't like being like on a trip. Like, I don't lift weight. Like, I have noodle arms. Like, I don't lift. That's not my thing. And I think in regards to like movement, or like getting that exercise in, like, I had to really be like, what do you like? And even with this teacher training, like, there's been times where like, I'm like, I'm going to practice yoga like every day. And then I like do it 3 days, and I'm like, that was such a failure. I'm like, you still moved. Like, it's just like, sometimes you can't do it. So I would say like the biggest helpful thing for me is like finding out what I like. And I'm like, okay, so I like taking walks. That's cardio. That's still exercise. Like, I think as long as you're finding something that, whatever brings you joy in this time, like, go with it. Obviously within limitation, like, if it's something that's harmful to others, please don't do that.
Right.
But like, I think it's like the and it's, I know for everyone, it's just been a struggle. Like, and it just, like, I had to keep reminding myself, like, okay, like, you don't like lifting weights, so why are you trying to force yourself into liking lifting weight? You don't like it. Don't do it. Like, so what? You're not going to have a six pack. Like, my, and like, appreciating my body for what it does. Like, I'm like, it's kept me healthy. I'm breathing. Like, one thing that, like, yoga practice is, like, whenever, like, focus on your breath, like, come back to your breath. And, like, whenever I feel like myself freaking out, and I do freak out quite a bit, I'm like, just breathe, dude, breathe, like, take a step away. But yeah, it's hard to move, and it's also hard to find that motivation. Like, it's been super hard, even just to, like, there's Sky Tang TV, which I had for my mentorship, and, like, I could do, like, I just have to set aside the time, and setting aside, like, 45 minutes to practice, I was like, dude, like, you're home, like, you don't even have to go anywhere, and that, like, showing up in that way was really hard, too, so. Mm-hmm. We're all having a hard time. Don't beat yourself up. I mean, it's hard not to, but, like, we're all struggling, and it's, you just do what you can.
Yeah. Thank you. That's so nice to hear. I think that's definitely the right way to think about it. It definitely is hard to find the motivation. I think the more challenging thing is to not then beat yourself up when you do fail, when you don't. You said, you know, and I think having really high expectations on yourself is something that's very inherent to a lot of people, particularly creatives, particularly New Yorkers. And then, so I remember I had like one of my old therapists used to tell me, like, you have this really interesting dichotomy of thinking you need to be better than everyone else, but also constantly beating yourself up for never being able to meet that standard. Like, you know, you're human. She always would tell me, like, you're human. Like, I don't know why you think you need to be more than human. You're not. You're just a human.
Capitalism. That's what it is. Like, I've also
had Marvel movies.
Like, I've also, like, I think that's, like, been another thing, is, like, my quest for perfectionism and being a perfectionist. I'm like, no one is perfect. So how are you going to be perfect? Mm-hmm. And I, like, even I have such a problem with it now, like, today, like, I know that no one's perfect, and I'll still be like, but you could have done that better. And I'm like, how?
Yeah, it's hard. It's like this weird combination of, like, it's ego, right? Because it's like that idea that we need to be better than, or should be better than, or are better than, but at the same time, then it's very much this kind of self hate because all it creates is just more pain and suffering on our, you know, more self punishment for failing to meet those expectations. Yeah. It is totally capitalism. I think I'm curious actually to hear your thoughts on this. This is something I think about, because I think America and the Western world is very much about individualism, right? It's about this idea that you are a unique, special snowflake, and no one else is just like you, and you're wonderful and beautiful and God's blessing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then in the more Eastern, you know, kind of traditional societies and mentalities, it's very much about the community. It's about the group. It's about the family. It's about you're a cog in the machine for the greater whole. You're not special. You're actually part of a bigger thing, and your whole purpose and value in life is to serve the greater good of whatever that is, of your community, of your family name, of, you know, it's very much about the group's honor rather than the individual's. Mm-hmm. And those two very much oppose each other. And I waffle back and forth all the time about which is better or right. My theory is it's a mix of both, but I'm curious to your thoughts on that.
I think it's definitely a mix of both. And I think one of the things that, like, is a problem in, at least in the, and I, like, I say this as, like, someone who is born in America, has only lived in America, that, like, the thing about you are you, and, like, you are unique, and you're so special and all this other stuff. And like, you could learn whatever you want. You could become whatever you want. And then like, but in order to get there, you have to go into a shit ton of debt. no one talks about that. And I think that's like a big thing. Cause like I went to college, I have a student loan debt, like,
yeah, same.
And like, cause I was told like in order to get ahead, that's what I had to do. But then like, that's what everyone's doing. So like, I'm competing with all of this. But I also like, community is so important. And I guess like, what your individual role in your community, like, how do you see yourself in your community, and how are you going to make like your community better? And I think a big problem here is like, since we're so told, like, we're told it's all about us, it's all about us. Like, I mean, even how many people are like, this whole thing is a hoax. And yeah, like, you're wearing a mask infringes on my freedom. I'm like, well, you can't be free if you're dead. So like, put on your fucking mask. Yeah. And it's just like, seeing that, like, there's, I think it's like, not understanding that while yes, you are an individual, you also are part of a community, no matter where you are. So like, how are you going to make that better? Yeah. And that's like the thing that I have been trying to do for myself. I'm like, okay, like, yes, I am a person, but like, what do I have to offer that can make things better for the people around me? So yeah, I think it's both. It's definitely both.
Yeah. I love that. What is your role within your community, your individual role? That's such a great, great way to look at it, because I agree with you. I think a big problem in this country, and why I think, besides, you know, our current administration, that aside, I think a big issue that we're seeing come really to light in 2020 with the pandemic, with the resurgence of Black Lives Matter, is this kind of valuing self over others. You know, this idea of like, well, what about me? When it's like, it's not always about you. Sometimes you have to suffer a little bit or be a little uncomfortable for the greater good of the community. Sometimes you need to set your needs aside at the moment to, you know, help others who maybe need it more. And I think that's a really hard thing for people to, I'm, you know, also American as well, but like, it's something harder, I think, for us as a culture to kind of do, because we're constantly fed these ideas of like stepping on heads on your way to the top. When really, if you talk to a lot of successful people, it's about connections, right? That's always what like these huge kind of billionaires and successful people and leaders talk about. It's, you know, you don't get anywhere without having some sort of community, some sort of support system, some sort of connections. It's all about who you know. And so in a way, like, it's not about you. No one just pulls themselves up by their bootstraps and succeeds alone in a vacuum. Like, even like going into a ton of debt in a college, in a university like I did as well, I can't tell you, I learned definitely some things in my classes, but really it was from connections that I was able to make through, you know, the people I met there, or the internships with the teachers, you know? So it's like, it's all about, I think that's a great way to look at it, is what is your role within the community?
Yeah, it's just, it's hard too, because I think it's like, we all also want to be like seen as individual people and like acknowledged for our individuality. So yeah, it's just this whole thing. It's just been hard. And like, I last year, I think what part of like what brought me into my teacher training is I read Pleasure Activism by Adrienne Marie Brown. Fabulous book. So good. And it was just kind of like, how can you find pleasure in the things that you do? And like, I was like, I don't have enough pleasure. It's like, freaked out. And like, I don't know. I know COVID is a virus, but like, capitalism is also a virus, and like, it's a conversation for another day. But like, I think it's just like the fact that there are like people are struggling to pay rent, and then there's like people who have their wealth has grown tremendously. I'm like, no one needs that. Like, I don't know how much money Jeff Bezos has, but he doesn't need that much.
No, not at all.
And if you could like solve hunger with like one day of your earnings, then just do that. Like, to me, I'm like, and so I'm like, maybe that's why I can't be a capitalist, because I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. Like, I think there's a lot of me, I'm like, what, like, where am I? But yeah, this, I think one of the, like, the down, like, it's definitely what I've seen as a result of this whole situation is the, how quickly, like, things can be dismantled. Like, I felt like everything was like, oh yeah, like, just like on this little house of cards. And then I was like, and it fell over. It fell over. And just like, this system isn't working in so many ways for so many people. And yeah, it's just like, that's another thing too, that I'm like, how am I going to get ahead? Like, when I'm like, I'm not rich and I'm not white. Like, how am I going to get there? Like, I was like, I don't have rich parents. Like, I was never given that. Like, I don't, that's just not, like, no one in my family, like, we don't have summer homes. Like, that's not a thing.
What? You don't? That's crazy.
Like, I couldn't, like, I think too, like, there's a lot, like, I couldn't go away. Like, there's so many people who are like, oh, I'm staying at like my parents, like, summer house. And I was like, what? Cool. Bye. Like, that wasn't a thing. So I think too, yeah, it's just like seeing like where your place is in that community and like what you can give. Like, I may not be able to like pay someone for their services, but I'm like, I could give you a Reiki session. I could give you a yoga, like, I could do one-on-one yoga, like, give you a private yoga session for the services you offer. Like, you get what you give. So also giving and knowing that you're going to get it back, like, trying to have an abundance mindset too, like, like, I feel so corny being like, I love money. Money is my, like, money comes and goes. I'm like, it doesn't come and go. And like, I'm not abundant with money, but I'm trying. And I'm like trying to be like, if I like, it'll come. Like, there were days where I used to like dream of where I am now. And like, I have to remember that. Like,
right. Right. It's all progress. It's all progress. And it will come and go. I know it is corny, but I totally believe it. I started doing like manifestation and abundance work a couple years ago, and just started to also think about what it is I really wanted to do, what made me happy out of all, like you were saying before, out of all the different areas I, you know, dabble in, which is the one I wanted to focus on. And I realized it was directing, which is also why I took a step back from stand up. And then by just saying, I want to be a director, I'm a director. I just started to get slowly little, you know, offers, asks, people started to come to me for different things. Some of it wasn't paid. Some of it was paid very little. Like, it didn't matter, but it was like, it just started happening because I had created that mindset of like, this is what I want and this is what I am. So I totally believe in that. And I think I totally love the idea of money kind of flowing through. Of viewing it as something that kind of just, it's not something to hoard. It's not something that you own. It's yours. And then you pass it on. And then the idea is to be an open channel, I think, is the goal. But speaking of, I love that you also offer your services, because there's so many ways, I think, to help. I think a lot of people get stuck on the idea of donating money. And I think especially because so many people are struggling right now financially, and the government still hasn't passed a stimulus package. Which is crazy, because you're right. Like, Bezos literally just toss out like one day's worth of earnings and completely solve this crisis. Mm-hmm. But I love that you said that you offer your practices, your services in exchange for others. So you have started a healing practice. It's called Song of the Sea Healing, yeah. Right?
So I'm actually trying to, like, is that even like, because my first and middle name, Carmen Marissa, and that means song of the sea in Latin, which I didn't know. And like, I love being by the water. Little Mermaid was my favorite movie growing up. Like, I was just like, this is like I love I love the beach. Like, I always joke around that my family's Puerto Rican, and how like I'm meant to be by the beach like my ancestors were. Like, I am not meant to be in New York City. I'm like, why did my grandparents all decide to come here? Like, I was like, you could have gone to Florida, like you could have gone to Miami, but no, we had to be in New York, like cold ass New York.
There's beaches.
I'm like there's beaches, but I'm like, this is like, I was like, why? Like, I came from, like, we came from such a tropical place, and then you came to here. But what I've been doing, like, I took a break from teaching because I had my mentorship, but now what I've been doing, so I do classes by donation. So like whatever you can pay, and 30% of all the proceeds go to, I've been donating recently to Indigenous Kinship Collective. So that's one way to give back. Like one of my friends, she did like a breathwork session for a bunch of us. And I was like, can I give you some Reiki in exchange? Like, you gave me something, I'm going to give you something. And like, I did some distance Reiki for her. And what I want to do in 2021 is continue to teach. I'm actually going to be doing a yoga class on December 31st. December 31st and January 1st. But like the class on the New Year's Eve is going to be like a little bit more, like, I don't want to say a power flow, but like a little bit more of like an intensive flow. And it's going to be all about releasing. So like, how can we release? And then on the 1st, I feel like a lot of, like, everyone on New Year's Day is like, come on. Like, it's like all about like your resolutions and like getting really active. But I think New Year's Day is also like a, just like, I always want to just chill out, and like kind of just like there's nothing open, like we don't need to be doing all this stuff. So the class on the 1st would be more of a restorative class, and thinking about what you want to receive and bring in to the new year. And I've been throwing around a lot of different ideas in my head. And I think for now, I want to do like a membership with like yoga and Reiki, but for now I think it's going to be classes. And then doing like some distance Reiki, but doing like a group session too, like doing like, you pay this much and like can get some group Reiki, and also doing some individual classes, and I know, or sessions. And I also know that since I'm working still, I am able to make the sessions affordable for people and donate, because it's not my main source of income.
Right.
So I eventually would like to make this like part of my main source of income. So, but for now, while I'm not offering, like, I'm not teaching every single day. And I also know that's not something that's sustainable for me, like, or other teachers. Like, it's just like burnout real quick. But in the meantime, like offering like those classes, so that like, if you can only pay $5, or if you can only pay $1, like you can still come. Or if you can't pay at all, like, that's okay. Like, come practice, like, we'll flow together, we'll heal together, and we'll also give some of that money to a great cause. Like,
that's awesome. Yeah. That sounds amazing. And I love that. I definitely will sign up for your class. I love the idea of doing a flow on New Year's Eve, and then restorative yoga on New Year's Day. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And it's, I did for 2 years, I did like yoga at midnight. And it was great. I loved it. But this year I was like, I don't want to be doing yoga at like midnight. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah, it's no,
late. And like, I was like, this year I'm like, I don't, well, I'm like, no, like, I feel like at midnight I'm going to be like smoking some weed and being like, fuck this year. Like, before we all smoke weed, or even if you want to smoke before, like, that's cool too.
I've never done yoga high. That'd be interesting. I don't know if I'd do that on New Year's Eve, but yeah, go on.
For the restorative one though, like, I've restorative classes, I've been too like stoned as fuck, because restorative is just like, have you ever done restorative yoga before?
I did it once right before I started getting really into like restorative yoga and then also yin yoga, but like okay. I took a class right before lockdown and then I couldn't anymore and it made me really sad.
Like and yin, like that, and like with restorative, like you don't need, like if you have, and yoga in general, like if you have yoga blocks, amazing, but if not, like you can use cans, books, like just mm-hmm. something that brings the like ground a little bit closer, because it's a prop, like you don't need to have a fancy yoga block, like it's okay. And for restorative, like pillows, great. But I love restorative because it's just like, okay, so you're going to prop yourself up into this position and just lie down for 10 minutes. And then we're going to put you in another comfy, cozy position and we're going to lie down for another 10 minutes. And it's going to be like in this like half sleepy state in different comfy positions. But it's also really good because it like helps you think about like, okay, like for me with restorative, like I really have to like it, like I go into my thoughts. And the, while yes, like moving through and like powering through is great. Like let's like, that's a great way to release. But I also think it's a, we also need to like think about like, what are our intentions for this year? Cause this year is like, we're not like, yes, it's a new year, but we're not out of the woods at all. Like we still have a lot to do. There's still like, there's like kind of an end, but it's not around the corner. Like we still are climbing up this mountain.
Yeah.
So like,
absolutely.
How are we going to get through it? And like, what are our goals? Like it could be something as like small as like, I'm going to meditate for 2 minutes every day, or I'm going to read, or I'm going to take a walk every day for 10 minutes, like whatever it is, to help yourself feel better. It doesn't have to be like, I'm going to write a book by the end of January. Like, cool. If you have the time and you can do that, but like figure out, like take small steps. And that's something I also struggle with as well, because like, I'll be like, I want to do this. And like, but I'm like, in order to get there, there's like all these other stops along the way. So like, how am I going to build up to that? Like, cool. I want to be a yoga teacher and Reiki practitioner. And I am one, but I want to be like, I want that to be my career. And that's going to take some time. That's okay. Like, yeah. What's the rush? Like, cool. Like you're going to do it. Like it just takes time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have that.
I feel you very much. It's definitely a challenge for me as well. I love you've had so many wonderful jewels of wisdom for us. I want to, before we wrap up though, I wanted to talk about the Indigenous Kinship Collective. I love going back to that. So you say you're right now you're donating part of your, proceeds from your teachings mm-hmm. to this collective. I've actually never heard of them and they're based in New York, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you find them? What's your connection to them? Why this organization?
So I was trying to find, especially as someone who, while I am an American, my family's Puerto Rican, and like growing up, I was kind of always taught, I remember thinking like Christopher Columbus, cool guy, like he was good. And like then as an adult being like, no, he was actually a terrible, terrible person. And like, why do we have a day off for him? And I do have like, my family has indigenous roots from like the Taínos in Puerto Rico. And also growing up, like learning about, like I used to always go to the Foxwoods Museum. Like there's a museum in Foxwoods for like the Pequot
tribe.
Yeah. And it's like, they built like a little tribe. And like I remember that was like part of the, like one of like the first times I was like, oh wait, like the United States, not that great. Ooh. And seeing how like, so like indigenous practices have been so important and helpful, and how I was like, how can I give back to these people? Like, who can I donate to? And I saw that Indigenous Kinship Collective is also like a mutual aid for indigenous communities. And it was one way that I was like, I can, from these classes, I'm also, it's not like I'm raising thousands and thousands of dollars, but I was like, where if I don't, if I get like $100 in donations, that's going to be super helpful for them. Like that's going to be able to feed a family or two or what have, like I wanted it to specifically go somewhere where it would go to the communities that needed it, as opposed to the Red Cross is great, but like how much of my donation actually goes to those in need? So I really wanted to do it for an organization that would help, that would like the money's like going to help someone. And I knew that it was going to be helpful. And I definitely, I think for like 2020, that's going to be, and for a little bit where I donate, but I'm also like always looking for new organizations to donate to. And I know I've seen the actions that this podcast has. So it's like, those are, I'm like, ooh, yes. I was like, wait, hold on. Like there's other organizations I can donate to. But I really just wanted to help, like, I was like, how can I help a community and like actually help them? Because it's hard. Like, and even earlier this year I had, like I used to get like, I have pre-tax for my commuter benefits. And I didn't realize it, but they're like, you have a lot of pre-tax benefit. Cause I was just like, oh, like put it on this debit card. And I actually donated some to like local mutual aids here, like in New York. Like I was like, I can't give like cash right now because I am also broke. But what I can do is like, I can you use 15 Metro cards for $10? I can give that to you. And they were like, thank you. Like, I was like, who's going to act like I need to, if I can't do a lot, like I need to give to someone that like the little that I do have is going to be impactful and like helpful and like actually help somebody, as opposed to like, okay, so I donated $15 to the Red Cross and all of that $15 went to their CEO.
Right. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. That's a really, I love that mentality. I think, and I think this year really, I didn't even know that mutual aid groups existed, honestly, until this year, and how much, how essential they've become for the communities. I mean, clearly we're not getting the federal assistance that we need. And there's still a lot of issues with state assistance as well. So like, I love that idea of like, where can your money and help and support have the most impact directly on the people in your community or neighboring communities? And the indigenous communities specifically have been hit so hard by this virus. And I have always been passionate about indigenous rights, and it's always just made me really angry with how this country has treated indigenous people and native peoples. But this year, especially, I've been really focused on trying to like donate and help, especially because it's a lot of grassroots organizations. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of individuals just gathering money on behalf of a certain group or on behalf of one family. And I actually love that kind of activism.
Yeah.
I think it's something I've discussed in past episodes, but I think that idea, and it was ingrained in me too, of like, oh, you need to have an official organization that's, you know, a 501c3 and like, you know, has a nice website, or it's not legit. It's like, help is help. You know, you giving $5 to a man on the street, you know, who needs it, is probably more impactful than, like you said, donating $15 to the Red Cross. It's going to go to admin fees and salaries.
Yeah.
And legal fees. Stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, Red Cross does amazing work, you know, of course, but there's so many ways to help.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I think like, I even like, you know, like even the, and like just learning like for like indigenous communities, like earlier this year, like, I mean, I voted and I understand the importance of voting and I was like, I did it, but I also like, I had to take a step back. I was like, voting's actually like super violent to like indigenous communities. Like, super, super violent. Like the concept of voting is violent to them because that like removed their, like what was theirs was just taken away from them. And like, so, and, but it was also like, it's super violent. And they were still like the Navajo Nation, like I know, and was a huge reason why Arizona turned blue. Yeah. So I was like, even more so, I was like, it's important that donate to them because like they're disproportionately affected in so many ways. like the virus, food, and like every single way possible, so that I know my $50 is going to change, like it's going to give someone meals for a family, meals for a week. Like, I know that. So I was like, I can do that.
And clearly they needed to. There's been, I think, just only recently, and it's still very small, any sort of kind of public mainstream attention for groups like this who have been suffering. I mean, also, I mean, if you think about the amount of women and queer folks who go missing in Indigenous communities, which is also what I really loved about the IKC that you brought up, is like, they're very inclusive. They're very much welcoming and helping, you know, women, women with an X, femmes, gender nonconforming folks, people from all different sorts of backgrounds and identities. It's not at all exclusionary, which is really extraordinary, I think, and necessary, because those people, unfortunately, are preyed upon so much more.
Yes. And so I was like, it was important. And I found it, I used to, it was over the summer, there was the McCarran gathering. That was like every single night at 7 p.m. And I would go to that. And I think for the 100th night, there was a drag show. And we, like, everyone donated, and like proceeds went to the performers. And I think there were, part of the proceeds also went to local organizations. And that was one of them. And I think the other that I was like, I'm going to donate to them next was Black Hustlers Mutual Aid. And I think it's for sex workers, but specifically like transgender sex workers. And I was like, they also need help too. Like, yeah. So like that, it was just even, and that was, it wasn't even something that like I found. It was like, I just happened to see, I was like, oh, this is who they're donating to. Amazing. So yeah, all about, it all comes back to community. It all comes back to community, and like, yes, we are all individuals, but like, what's our individual role within our community?
Absolutely. Well, so speaking of, I want to let the audience and listeners know, how can they reach out to you, and how can they take your classes or hire you for your healings and services? I definitely want to sign up for your New Year's Eve and New Year's Day class. Those sound amazing. So how can people follow you?
So I would say the best way right now is follow me on my personal Instagram, Carmen, C-A-R-M-E-N, Marissa, M-A-R-I-S-S-A. I'm the only one. So follow me. I do have a Reiki and yoga account, and it's songofthesea.healing. But I'm actually also thinking about kind of rebranding that and changing it. I don't know. 2020's thrown me for a loop, but I would say my personal Carmen Marissa, I'll be anything that I'm doing in regards to like yoga or Reiki, I'm going to be posting there. And I usually do like emails and stuff. So if like you want to schedule something with me, you can send me a DM, follow me, and we'll connect and we'll go from there. I'm still figuring it all out.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. That's great. I mean, aren't we all? But thank you so much for being on the last episode of the year and like being on the show.
Thank you.
It's so nice to catch up with you.
I know. It's so fun. And like, definitely like, let's hang out again soon from our homes. Yeah, this was so nice. And I do like, I think of all of the shows that I had done, one doing Stand Up the Revolution was like my favorite, like the most comfortable, like most inclusive. So thank you for creating this community.
Oh, that's really sweet. I mean, it again, right? Like if I fell into it, and it's become this amazing source of love and community for myself as well. I mean, that's why I do this podcast, just so I can see my friends.
Just see my friend.
I just want to talk. Okay, well, I think that'll do it for this episode of the Revolution Podcast. You can find me, Kate Moran, on Instagram and Twitter at KickAssKMO. And the podcast is at Rev Comedy Pod, R-E-V Comedy P-O-D. Our website is therevolutioncomedy.com, where you can find more info on our guests like Carmen Rodriguez. I will list her Instagram account and links also to our actions like the Indigenous Kinship Collective. Don't forget to please subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you like us. It helps other people find us and gets the word out about these amazing comedians, people, and organizations. See you next time. Happy New Year, and keep fighting.